All right, you made it here. We'll start our lesson here in just a moment. If you have a Bible, hope you do, you can open to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4. 3 weeks ago, during a combined Sunday school in this room, I taught on artificial intelligence, a biblical worldview to live in a world with artificial intelligence. And one of the statements I made toward the very end, it was one of the kind of takeaways, how should we then live? One of the statements was, we must submit our use of AI to the lordship of Jesus Christ. I want to take that thought, that truth, and apply it to a specific area of which AI is a part. But that is the area generally of technology and media. And just in the 20, 30 minutes we have, try to use some principles from Ephesians 4 and 5 to really ask ourselves, what should it look like? What would it look like for me, for you, to submit our use of technology and media to the lordship of Jesus Christ? If you are a Christian, you have proclaimed, you've confessed, you've testified that Jesus has saved you, that he is your Lord. Every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And that means that he is Lord of all of you, of every part of you, all of your time, all of your resources, all of your belongings, everything you do, everything you think, everything you say. And that would include, especially right now in our world, this world, this use of technology and media. So I'm going to try to just highlight some real important biblical principles and then ask some questions that I trust you, as the Spirit indwells in you, can apply correctly to yourself. I know in a room like this, there are some people who have very little access to technology and media. There are others who that's your job. Like, so most of your day is spent using it, and then everything in between. But I'm trusting that the Spirit of God will take the Word of God and apply it correctly to the people of God. So that's where we're going here this evening. I mentioned earlier I have some books to give away. These are relating to this topic. The good news about these books, there's two things of good news. One, they're free for you if you read them. Two, they're short. They're all short. So there are three different titles. We have a couple of them with a couple copies. So there's one copy of this book by Jeff Johnson titled Taming the Fingers, Heavenly Wisdom for Social Media. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, I have some social media friends who should read this book. Well, if you want to give it to them, that's between you and that friend. But it's a short book about how what we do with our thumbs or fingers on social media, how that matters. And we as Christians need to apply what the Bible says to that. So one copy of this, Jeff Johnson. The foreword is by Tim Challies, if you know that name. So I'll set that here. And then there are two copies of this book, Digital Dominion. So God has given people dominion over his creation. We are little representatives of God as image bearers. And the subtitle is Five Questions Christians Should Ask to Take Control of Their Digital Devices. So God has given us technology as a tool. If you have a digital device, it's a tool that I believe you ought to exercise dominion over as an image bearer of God. And five questions to ask. There are two copies of Digital Dominion. I'll set that up here. And then we have two copies of a book titled Competing Spectacles. The author is Tony, I think you say his name, Tony Ranke, I think is how you say his last name. Maybe some of you have heard of him. He is a phenomenal author in this area. He's written a lot of longer books that are really, really good. This is his shortest one. Competing Spectacles, the subtitle, Treasuring Christ in the Media Age. So when we have all these influences, all this content coming at us, how do we treasure Christ in the middle of all that? So I'll put these over there. And if I forget to mention at the end, maybe some of you will remember that they're there. Okay? Ephesians 4. We're going to pray, and then we'll look at this passage together. Let's pray. Father, help me, help us to apply your word to our lives. Give us soft hearts. Give us bold commitment to make choices that are important, even when it's hard. Father, I trust you. You know each person in this room, and you know how each of us uses our devices, uses media and all these things. You know. I don't. And so I pray that you would impress upon each individual heart by your Spirit the ways in which we ought to leverage these tools for your purposes. Father, convict us where we need that. Father, comfort us where we need that. Challenge us where we need that. And Lord, I pray that my words would represent accurately your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Screens are the air that we breathe. I have two up here. I have a third in my pocket. What was new and novel 20 years ago is now commonplace. Screens are the air that we breathe. Most of you are aware enough to know how to use your device to find out how much time you spent on your device the past week. Whether it's an Apple device, iOS, Android, usually there's a way you can find out how you use your device that day, that week. And it's a sobering exercise to look back and see how much of your life, how much of my life I spent on a device in the past week. If you don't know how to do that, you can ask. But it's a really helpful exercise to just see what I'm doing. Not just the amount of time, but how I'm using that time. So screens are just the air that we breathe. And the question for us is, how should we leverage them for God's purposes? God left us with commands. He left us with a great commission. He left us with two great commands, love him and love others. So how should we leverage these things, exercising dominion over them for his purposes? In Ephesians 4, I'm going to lay out five big questions from Ephesians 4 and 5. We're not going to read every verse here, but just to try to help us take these biblical principles and then really drill down into them in our lives. Ephesians 4, let's begin by reading verses 1 through 3. And now I have to say this before we read. I think you understand the book of Ephesians. Chapters 1 through 3 are about the gospel, what God has done for us in Jesus. Then we turn the corner here in chapter 4 to then living it out. Here we go. Ephesians 4, verse 1. I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. That calling is chapters 1 through 3, the gospel. Verse 2. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. After three chapters of gospel, what God has done, Paul then says, okay, the first thing I'm going to challenge you on, Christians, the first thing is this loving, humble unity. So the first question I have for us is your use of technology and media, is it helping you? Is it helping me walk in humble unity? That's the first thing he says. Humility, verse 2, gentleness, patience, bearing in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. How could technology help us to be more humble and more united? Most of the ways that technology is used today are to brag or boast and to divide. As Christians, we're called to do the opposite. We're called to be humble and to be united. Specifically here, we see the mention of patience. So verse 2. Humility, gentleness, with patience. Technology is about speed, isn't it? You ever tested like the speed of your downloads at your home Wi-Fi? The speed of the uploads? There's this competition, who's got the faster Wi-Fi, faster download speed, faster phones, faster computers, faster Wi-Fi, the first on the scene with the new technology. But the Bible emphasizes patience. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, speed. No, it's not. It's not. It's patience. It's patience. Our culture, of course, rewards speed as well. But patience is commanded here in verse 2, as well as in Colossians 3 and 1 Thessalonians 5 and 2 Timothy 2. One of the big problems with technology and media is that they teach us to demand everything right away. Want an answer? Look it up right away. You'll get an answer right away. We don't need help being impatient because we're sinners. But technology and media feed that impatience in us. So maybe we should do something kind of countercultural, like soaking in a passage of Scripture for a long time and meditating on it. Or really studying something deeply. Maybe actually reading a long book and not just listening to a 10-minute podcast. But learning and reminding ourselves what it's like to be patient. Patient with taking in information, but more than that, patient with each other. So if you don't get me what I want from you right away, the temptation is to be impatient, right? You've been there, right? So you send an email, 24 hours later, no reply. So what do? You send a text. Did you get my email? 2 hours later, no reply. Then you actually use the phone to make a phone call. And there's times for that. I'm not saying that's wrong or sinful all the time. But we need to push back against the natural impatience that we feel and the natural impatience of our culture and of technology and media to really obey verse 2, to put on patience. What about humility? Is my use of technology and media helping me to be humble? We're called to walk with humility, to bear with others in love. This is how we maintain the unity of the Spirit. Three times in the Bible, God writes that he is opposed to the proud. Three times. Proverbs, James, 1 Peter. I don't know about you, but I think for God to oppose something is a pretty big deal. And God opposes the proud. So does your use of, we'll zero in here on social media if you use that at all. Does your use of that portray humility? Or do you cultivate your image online to make others think better of you? Or when you use technology, does it motivate you to envy those who have more than you have? Or does it tempt you to make others envy you? You can use technology and media to grow in humility. And one way, just one example, is by using it to help others, to build up others, to compliment others, to praise what truly is praiseworthy, and even to recommend biblical resources and good things to people. Now, before we move on to the next question, notice here in verse 3 why. Why are we commanded to be patient and humble? Verse 3 says, because we ought to be eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. I don't live all of my life online, but I'm online, you know, enough to know that there are professing Christians who, best as I can tell from their online interaction, they are not eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit. But instead, they're eager to slander. They're eager to divide. They're eager to lie. And that is not what we're called to do. We're called to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. That usually means actually having real relationships with people and not simply online interaction. So if you are using technology and media to push against Ephesians 4, 1 through 3, I'm sinning. You're sinning. This is what we're called to do. Second question from Ephesians 4, here looking at the second half of the chapter. Is my use of technology and media, is it helping me walk in newness of life? So jump down to verse 17. you understand we're skipping over a lot of really good stuff. But jump down to verse 17. Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. Look at verse 20. That is not the way you learned Christ. So Paul's just establishing, like, you're different if you've been saved. God's changed you. So act different. What does that look like? Jump down to verse 22. It looks like putting off the old self, which belongs to your former manner of life. That's who you used to be. It's corrupt through deceitful desires. Be renewed in the spirit of your minds and put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. So is your use, is my use of technology and media, is it helping me be transformed? Is it helping me put off the old? It'd be a fun little exercise for you to look at your screen time, maybe even use your device to look up your screen time, or just think back to the last 24 hours. Like, how did it help you put off sin? We don't usually ask that of our devices. But that's what God tells us to do. So how did my use of my device, how did it help me put off sin? How did it help me renew my mind? It certainly can, right? You can access all kinds of good biblical teaching and the Bible itself. How did it help me put on, verse 24, the new self, true righteousness and holiness? Is it helping me be transformed? That's a question we should ask of our use of technology and media. Unless you get the wrong impression, I'm not standing up in front of you as an example, a good example of all this. This is really convicting for me, really convicting. So I'm just trying to represent what God says. Don't take this as something I've mastered. This is just trying to take Ephesians 4 and 5 and apply it to this part of my life and this part of your life. What about contentment? What about contentment? Is our use of technology and media helping me, helping you to be content? Look at verse 19. We skipped over it earlier, but Ephesians 4, verse 19. They, that is the Gentiles, the unbelievers, they have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. If you look ahead in chapter 5, verse 5, right in the middle of these descriptions of those who are sexually immoral, those who are impure, they're also called covetous. There's a reason that God combines sexual sin and greed or covetousness. Why? Because at the root of it all is this desire to have what I should not have or can't have. That's at the root of it. How does technology or media, how does that feed our natural desire for what we don't have or what we can't have? Or how can we leverage it to help us be content? Again, we're just trying to take Ephesians 4 and 5, some of these principles, and really, really apply them to the lordship of Jesus in this area in our lives. As the world and as we use this more and more, the temptation to be discontent is just going to grow and grow and grow. And people have, I think, wisely done things like taking a break from electronics. Some will call it a fast, whether it's a social media fast or even just like a break from their smartphone or whatever. And I think there's lots of good reasons to do something like that. And one of the reasons to take a break at times is to just give us maybe a greater awareness of the blessings that we have outside of this. God was blessing people long before Steve Jobs was born. And it's good for us to recognize the amazing blessings we have that don't come through screens. Next question. Is my use of technology and media, is it helping me walk in love? Is it helping me walk in love? So here we're in chapter 5 of Ephesians, verse 1. Look at verse 1, Ephesians 5, 1. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. So here Paul says, be like God. And then the next thing he says is love. Walk in love. And then the example, of course, is Jesus. Jesus came and gave himself. He gave himself. So is my use of technology and media, is it helping me follow the example of Christ to love others? How did Christ show his love for us? Well, he came in bodily form. He actually dwelt among people. This is a very convicting question for me. Is my use of technology and media, is it helping me be present? Present where God has placed me. Now, you can think about people that are physically close to you, like in the moment, right? So right now that's us in this room. I think you can also think of people who God has placed in your life, God has placed you in their lives, that maybe technology does allow you to be more connected when you're not physically present. But there's a strong temptation to be more present with things that don't matter to you, really, because of the connection that we can have through technology and media. And that's a strong temptation, right? To know more about things that actually don't matter in the truest sense of the word to us. And so this is a question I need to ask myself, right? Is it helping me be present? How often do you overlook your physical neighbor to interact with a virtual neighbor? That's a question I think we ought to ask. What about being real? When Christ came to show love, he came in the truest, realest sense. He didn't come as a virtual savior. He lived in the flesh. He didn't die a virtual death. He died a real, physical, excruciating, painful death. And he experienced a real bodily resurrection. And as we seek to follow Christ in loving others, we need to imitate that in a very real way. The church is a family of people, not a collection of online profiles. The church is people, real people in the flesh. Living online allows us to control what others know of us, to control what others see of us. We can curate our online persona, our online image. In a healthy church, you can't do that, at least not as easily. Now, sure, we can make sure that we, you know, say the right things when we're together as a church, and we can look the right, you know, look the right way when we're together as a church. But the more you interact with people in the flesh, in real space and time, then actually we actually start to realize, oh, you're a sinner too. you've been saved too. And this is good. This is good. We're commanded to walk in love as Christ did. So I think it's right to ask, how is my use of technology and media, how is it helping me or hindering me from being real, especially with family and church family and people who are close? Next question, is my use of these things, is it helping me walk in light? So jump down now to Ephesians 5, verse 8. Right in the middle of verse 8, there's a command. Walk as children of light. Verse 9, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. You can look over now at chapter 6, verse 18. Chapter 6, verse 18. Ephesians 6, 18. Right in the middle of that verse, there's this command. To that end, keep alert. Keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. So the question, trying to help us apply this, is my use of technology and media, is it helping me be alert? Is it helping me discern what is good and right and true? Again, going back to chapter 5, there, verse 9, the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. So walk as children of light, being able to understand, discern what is good and right and true. And is my use of technology and media helping me understand what is good and right and true? Keep alert, Ephesians 6:18 says. Does my use of technology and media help me, excuse me, to think more biblically? Does it sharpen my thinking? Or does it dull my thinking? Or does it help me think more fleshly or think more worldly? So, if you're like me, you got to ask for God's help. And that's what Ephesians 6:18 really, that's the context of it, right? Praying at all times in the Spirit, making supplication for all the saints. So we should ask, is my use of technology and media, is it helping me pray? Is it actually helping me pray? Now you say, it certainly can. And yes, I agree, it certainly can. I'm thankful that our church sends out prayer request emails. And so for most of us, that means on our devices, we're getting an email of how to pray for people that we love. That's a great use of technology and media. But there are a couple ways, I believe, that these things pull us away from prayer. And one is distraction, right? So if you want to like spend focused time in prayer, and then you feel the vibration in your pocket or on your wrist. And if you're like me, you can be like, well, what if that's really important? What if it's my wife? But that distraction pulls us away from prayer. A second way that it pulls us away from prayer is we often will look to distraction. We'll look to media or technology when we feel overwhelmed. Instead of going to the Lord in prayer, right? Take it to the Lord in prayer. Instead of that, we'll turn to the next thing on Netflix. Or we'll turn to scrolling social media. So instead of taking our burdens, our anxieties, our fears, our worries, our concerns, instead of going to the Lord, we'll go to entertainment or we'll go to distraction. So is your use of technology and media, is it helping you pray? I really, really, with as much like caring, loving, pastoral oomph as I can, I really hope that you're examining your own life. I am. I've had to. I've had to examine my own use of media technology and even things like with prayer. How is it helping or hindering my prayer life? The last major question is my use of these things helping me walk in wisdom? So Ephesians 5, beginning in verse 15, says, look carefully how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. So is my use of technology and media actually helping me grow in wisdom? Not facts, not information, but true wisdom. What's the opposite of wisdom? Well, it's foolishness, right? That's what verse 17 says. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. So is my use of these things, is it helping me grow in wisdom, or is it increasing my foolishness? And then is it helping me grow in stewardship? We skipped over verse 16, but now we're going to look at it. Look at verse 16, Ephesians 5:16, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. Yes, technology can help us be more efficient. 2 months ago, I think it was, there was a Sunday where we had to cancel our services. And if I had to send a telegraph to every church member, letting them know we didn't have church, that'd be very inefficient. If I had to send a carrier pigeon, or a fax, okay, or send it through mail, that'd be very inefficient. We were able to communicate with technology. And so we are so thankful for all the efficiencies that it gives to us. And yet, what opportunities are lost when I take the time I gained from technology and then I waste it on other technology. Oh, is that just me? Is that just me? Is my use of technology and media, is it helping me grow in stewardship? Making the best use, verse 16, making the best use of the time. Yes, praise God for help with efficiencies and things like that. But we're called to steward all of our lives and submit all of our lives to the Lordship of Christ. Maybe one kind of big way of asking the questions is this. Is my use of these things helping me be more holy? 1 Peter 1, right in the middle here. As he who called you is holy, so you also be holy in all your conduct. As we read in Hebrews 12, strive for peace and for the holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Or Jesus himself, speaking of sin, says it's actually better to live without a body part if that causes you to spend eternity apart from God. To live without that than to live with it and go into hell. Now again, I don't stand up here as someone who's figured this out, as someone who's living this perfectly. I don't. But God's given us his word. And my hope for myself, my hope for you, is that we can take our use of these things and submit them to the lordship of Christ. Now, don't get the idea, because I spent, you know, 35 minutes talking about all this. Don't get the idea that I hate technology. I gave you a presentation on the screen. I don't hate technology. So there are so many good things. So many good things. But if we're going to submit all of our lives to Christ, that would include this. And Ephesians 5, 4, 5, and 6 give us these principles that we ought to apply to this area of our lives as well. I'm going to pray. Before I pray out loud, I'll give us just a few seconds of quiet. Maybe this is a time for you to respond to the Lord in your own heart. Maybe a time for you to examine yourself. And if you need to, maybe confess or maybe make commitments to Christ to follow him faithfully in this area. And then I'll close us in prayer. God, we thank you that when you save us, you don't leave us as we are, but you change us. And that change can be painful at times. It can be hard, but it is so good. God, thank you for your spirit. Thank you for your word. Help us to apply your word with the help of your spirit to all of our lives, including this area. Lord, we want to be more faithful. We want to be faithful to you to the end. So help us to do this, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.